Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Please be seated. John 3:16. I remember that this was the very first Bible verse my mom had me memorize when I was a little boy. But what comes before and after verse 16 is just as important as the 16th verse. So first let me tell you about what comes before it, starting in verse 14. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Well, as you heard from our first scripture lesson, this business of the serpent goes all the way back to the book of Exodus. God saved his people from Egyptian slavery, parted the Red Sea, destroyed the pursuing Egyptians. God fed them in the wilderness with manna, bread from heaven, with quail that flew in, and their water came out of a rock. But they weren't content with that. They began to grumble against Moses and against God himself. They complained, "Why have you brought us out of Egypt to die in the desert?" Well, maybe the cemeteries of Egypt were more to their liking. Then they cried out again, "We detest this miserable food." Well, maybe slave grub was more to their liking than the lavish cuisine that God promised he would spread before them when they got into their promised land. A cuisine that included those famous ingredients, the land flowing with milk and honey. Well, most of them would never make it there. As punishment for their ingratitude and their faithlessness, God had it. He sent poison snakes to kill the complainers. Now, you might think to yourself, serves them right. But remember, you and I have rebelled against God as well, and if it were not for his mercy, we would suffer the same fate. Helpless against the snakes, the people finally confessed, "We have spoke against the Lord and against you, Moses. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." Isn't that the way it always is? People are asked to show gratitude and thanksgiving for the blessings God gives them, and they don't. They complain because they haven't got the blessings they want in the manner they want to receive it. Isn't it so like people to ignore all calls to repent of your sins? In fact, if you do tell them they have to repent of something, they get very angry with you, don't they? They ignore all calls to confess and to repent until a crisis hits. Then they have a religious awakening. They're eager to ask God's help, as if whatever actions they're doing will cause magic fairy dust to fall from the sky and take away their problems. But God doesn't work like that. But for these sinners, God did have compassion. He told Moses to come up with a very unusual solution and cure. He said to Moses, "Make a bronze serpent and set it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." The original vaccination, right? The bronze serpent. Now, that was just for those ancient sinners. God has something similar for us to look up to be saved as well. John 3 goes on to say, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." No bronze snake for us. You know what we're looking up to, don't you? The cross of Jesus Christ. In that cross, is your salvation. Now, we see the bronze serpent almost every day in our lives. As we drive around, you see an ambulance or a hospital or a sign. The caduceus, it's the symbol of medicine and healing. It's the serpent wrapped around a pole. It comes from straight from the Bible. So it's become a symbol of medicine because the bronze serpent was connected with healing. But in reality, this bronze serpent looks ahead to our Lord being hanged from a cross. So what's behind the verses coming before John 3:16 are very important to memorize as well. Just as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But then there's a verse that comes after John 3:16, verse 17. It says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So going back to the sign of the medical profession, think about this. You go to your doctor, you tell what your problem is, and the doctor begins to criticize you for having that problem, criticizes your lack of good health, offers you no help, no advice, no medicine, no surgery, just criticism. Well, you don't have much of a doctor there, do you? Likewise, if you have a religion that just makes demands, condemns your failures, pushes you to do more and more and more and more, well, you don't have much of a religion, do you? Christianity would not at all be helpful if it just imposed impossible obligations on you and then condemned you when you fell short. Well, God did not send Jesus into this sinful world to add to the burden of guilt. He came to save you. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17 is so important that St. Paul even has that verse in mind when he wrote in Romans chapter 8, "There is now no condemnation for those in Christ." Through our Lord's obedience, he paid for the rebellion of the whole world. His blood paid the wages of sin. You see, God so loved the world that he offers his grace to everyone in it, which means it's for you too. In the original language, God so loved the world, the words for world is God so loved the cosmos. God loves everyone. No one is exempt from the grace of God unless they reject it out of hand and cast it underfoot. Eternal life is yours right now. Just believe it. And it's yours. Take it. It's offered to everyone, but sadly, not everyone accepts it. But those who do have God's unconditional promise signed in the blood of your Savior that whoever believes in Jesus shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Like the ancient people who looked up at the bronze serpent and lived, you look at your Savior lifted up on a cross. Believe what he says, that your sins are forgiven, because they are. Believe what he says, that there is a mansion prepared for you in heaven, because there is. Billions of people throughout the world have learned, cherished, and memorized John 3:16. But the verses that come before it and after it are a great comfort as well. So I always like to urge people to consider John 3:16 in its context. As God delivered his ancient people from bondage to an earthly Pharaoh, he delivered you from bondage to sin. God shows mercy. He gives you spiritual healing through the cross. So look up to the cross. It's your exodus from sin, death, and the power of the devil. And the gospel is all God's doing, not yours. Jesus is not another Moses who came to give more law, more rules, more regulations. He's your Savior who fulfilled God's law and gives you the credit for what he did. Jesus didn't come to criticize, cajole, or condemn. He came to save you. There's nothing you have to do. No payment that can be extorted from you. Just believe and give thanks. It was always God's intent to save you by his mercy. He foretold it so many times in the Old Testament. The clear testimony of the prophets and the example of so many Bible stories that you learned as a child in Sunday school and that you read now and as you're growing older, it all gives you a picture of how a Savior was coming into the world who would be lifted up to bear the sins of the world, lifted up on a cross. The cross does not condemn, it pardons. It grants eternal life and salvation to all who believe. Now, it's true that even when standing alone, John 3:16 is a powerful verse. God offers salvation to the entire world. But people need to hear this promise, and it could just be that they'll hear it from your mouth. So may God make it possible for all of us, whenever the occasion presents itself, wherever we may be as we are going through life, to confess our faith in Jesus Christ to anyone who will listen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with the offertory on page 192.